In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Thanks for joining us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We're looking at John 15. Very important words of comfort and encouragement concerning hard times. The setting was the last statements and teaching of Jesus to his disciples before his death. Hard times. And he stopped in a vineyard on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he taught his last lesson to his disciples. And he used grapes. And he talked about vines and fruit and bearing fruit. And he basically said, we as believers are created for an abundance of fruit. Not a barrenness of fruit, but an abundance of fruit. And so he says in John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. We learned last time that means he lifts it up so that he can wash it and tie it to the trellis and get it to the sunshine. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. And last time we were talking about the greater the age of the branch, the deeper the pruning that's necessary. So right now, you've probably just decided that your fruit basket is full enough, right? Wrong. See, if we think we're going to have to go through some pain, our natural response is, I'm good. I'm good, Lord. You know, don't bother me. I'm okay. But remember, God only prunes in love and for our best and his glory. For our best. See, early pruning is dealing with outward activities and priorities. But mature pruning is concerning our personal values and our identity in Christ. So when Jesus got to this level of discipleship in John 6, you remember what happened? It was very predictable. Verse 66 says, from that time many of the disciples went back and didn't walk anymore with him. The discipleship got too tough. The pruning was too difficult. So the next question to the 12 that were left, well, you guys want to leave too? Their answer was in John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. See, the impact of these few men is still shaking the world. And your impact can also. If you refuse to pull back when the mature pruning begins. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it may last longer than we think it ought to. But remember, when God pulls you out of the oven, you want him to say, well done. So he's the one that determines how long you stay in the oven, how high the heat is in the oven. He's the one that knows when you'll be well done. So let's talk about that process of pruning. Well, James 1, verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire or complete, wanting nothing, needing nothing at all. See, testings of our faith are various trials and hardships that invite us to surrender something of great value to God, even when you may have every right to it. But God says, will you give it to me? Is your hand open? It's a testing of your faith. Psalm 66:10 says, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Wow, the psalmist said, God, that's what you did. You allowed people to catch us and lay affliction on us, and you cause men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but I love the last part of verse 12. You brought us out into a wealthy place. That's Psalm 66 and verse 12. You see, the test of faith really doesn't test anything unless it pushes you past your last test. That's why the older you are, the more difficult the tests get. It's not 2 + 2 anymore. It's like advanced geometry and algebra and calculus, and we're going, what in the world? It's because it pushes you past your last test. That's why the pruning lasts longer and goes deeper than the last time. And that's why if you pull back or bail out when you think you've reached your limit, you'll always fail to see the desired fruit that God knows you have in yourself. You'll never know what God was developing if you bail out. Now let's talk about some important pruning points. First of all, God doesn't apply pain when a more pleasant method would do just as well. It's not like God's into pain. And secondly, not every painful experience is the result of pruning. Now, God just may be dealing with sin in the life of a loved one. And so when that happens, Romans 8:28 may involve you because God's trying to deal in the life of your children or your son or someone else. Thirdly, the pain of pruning comes now, but the fruit comes later. It's pain, fruit. The old adage, no pain, no gain. And you remember Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him, speaking of Jesus, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He looked beyond the pain to the gain. And that's what God wants us to do when we're going through pruning, to rejoice that God is preparing us for something greater, a greater ministry, and a more effective testimony, because he knows there's no testimony without a test. And so even during the duration or the depth or the breadth of the pruning seasons may vary at times, no season lasts indefinitely. They come to an end. And an amazing personal transformation will come as a result. Maybe a broader ministry will then be evident, kind of like the ministry of the Apostle Paul after the many seasons of pruning that he went through. Remember his prison time. It was not a period of less effectiveness. No, he was writing the epistles that down through the years have been such a blessing to God's children. Now, how did Daniel feel when later in life he was no longer in the limelight? In fact, he was forgotten. What if he had become bitter and that when the message came to interpret the handwriting on the wall? What if he said, drop dead, king? I don't care if you can't interpret the message. But he didn't become bitter because he realized, all in God's time, God has a plan, and he can use me whenever and wherever he wants to. So here's the expression. You remember when mothers were asking their children, tell me where it hurts. Tell me where it hurts. The same question that the doctors will ask patients. Tell me where it hurts. See, this is true of the mature pruning process. The pain comes from the point where his shears are cutting deep into our very being. And the discomfort basically says to us, pay more attention here. Pay more attention here. I'm remembering the story back in 1 Samuel chapter 25. David and his men were on the run, and they were living out in the wilderness, really didn't have much to eat at times. And so there came a time that one of the men out in that area where they were hiding had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and his name was Nabal. And he was shearing his sheep, and so David sent some men down to surround the shearing process, make sure that no thieves would come in and steal all of the wool that was sheared. Provided a very strong assistance there. Then, after all that was done, David sent word to Nabal and said, we've protected you from any thieves that may have come along. Do you have any food that you could could give us just kind of a way of saying thank you. And you remember Nabal's response? Oh, my. What a hard, wicked man that he was. And Nabal said, who is David? Verse 10. And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it to men whom I know not and from whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told David all these things. Wow. David's response, oh yeah? Is that the way you're going to respond? Told all of his men to strap their swords on, and he said, all right, we'll take care of him. Now, God was doing a work in David's life through Nabal's response. See, God was pruning David. The issue was his pride. His pride. You remember Abigail, Nabal's wife, heard about it and went to speak to him and basically reminded David that his security wasn't in his martial arts, but in his mental attitude. And her appeal was to see beyond this pain and choose instead to pass the test of faith for greater blessings later on. And he basically said, if you kill all the males in my family, then when you become king, nobody will ever forget what you did. Wow. Wow. See, the difference between David and Nabal is Nabal would never listen to any appeal. Verse 17, she tried to appeal to Nabal. He wouldn't listen. She appealed to David in verses 24 and 33. David listened. See, would David let God decide how he wanted to bless him and meet his needs instead of using himself? See, that is the strong point. Where does it hurt is what the doctor asks the patient. And wherever you're hurting may be the area where God is working, where God is basically saying, pay attention here. So are you willing to pay attention to the areas where you're hurting? Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in a relationship issue with someone else. Let me quickly give you some prime points of pruning. First one is this. Mature pruning enables you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first. What would advance God's righteousness? That's what needs to happen. And so there may be areas that God may begin cutting in. It might be people that you love the most. So you give your wife or your husband or your children to God for His total control. You basically say, they're yours, Lord, not mine. I'm giving up my rights to that. Maybe it's giving up your rights to be married or giving up your right to have children or grandchildren. Maybe that's the pruning that God is doing in your life. Your right to know why God does what He does, but allowing God to have the final veto. Your love for money. Maybe your 401k has become a 101k recently. Is that okay? Will you give God the right to do that? You see, when we do that, then God blesses in an awesome way. Well, until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.